What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Just to kind of put a bow on what I was saying before, so you heard Biden say, I'm going to play it one more time, actually, one more time, because again, and this is the big story of the hour brought to your buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. The playbook of Kamala Harris is, I had nothing to do with this administration. I was not part of it in any way. I was barely there. I went to the White House once for a Christmas party, and that was it. That's her playbook. So then here comes Biden coming out and saying, no, she was my partner. We did this all together. This was all working together, the two of us. Take a listen.
And he responded to criticism from Team Trump about Kamala Harris being more liberal than Biden. Here's his response.
The issues we've worked on together have made great progress economically. It's a good policy. So that's what it's like.
The issues we worked on together made great progress economically. The issues we worked on together, they're like, zip it, man. We don't need you going out there and saying this about us. Zip it. We weren't there. She wasn't there. By the way, we're streaming live on YouTube now if you want to take a watch. Dr. Ben Carson is going to join us at 4:30. Not on YouTube, but nevertheless, you can still watch it and comment along. Feel free. That's what they don't want him saying. Now, then I played you the clip of Susan Rice saying the same thing. Kamala Harris was integral to the Biden-Harris administration. I also played you a clip of a woman in Philadelphia crying over the economy and how inflation is so high. So you see, as the Kamala Harris playbook is, Trump's mean, and we had nothing to do with this S show that is the Biden administration. Now you have Biden and Susan Rice and others coming out and saying, oh, no, she was right there for all of it. Okay? So that's what they don't want, is they want to make this a race about personality. And they think they can win if it's about personality. I'm telling you, it will not work for them. But just to put a bow on this, here's PBS's Anna Navarez. You're voting for Harris and Waltz. You're essentially voting for the same policies as Biden and Harris. Cut 31.
Hang on. Give me 1 second. Sorry.
That's all right. We got 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds. Oh, come on.
Sorry. I didn't load that one in. I have it somewhere.
I mean, it's on the cut sheet, though.
I see it right here.
I'm looking at it.
I have it. I know I have it.
All right, fine.
Just the Hummer.
I could have played a different clip. I have 8,700 of them to play.
Yeah,
so.
We have like 50, which is why I'm having an issue here.
All right, you skip it. Doesn't matter.
It. Here it is.
All right, go ahead.
Enjoy.
At the same time, the criticisms being levied at the top of the ticket on the Democratic side are valid. She has not yet sat for an interview since she moved to the top of the ticket. We also haven't really seen any kind of policy rollout, right? Which leaves a lot of voters wondering, if you're voting for Harris Walls, are you essentially voting for the same policies as Biden Harris?
It's a legitimate concern. I also think it is one that the Harris Walls team is fully aware of. It's also, we are a week out from the Democratic National Convention, which will be her opportunity and his opportunity, but specifically for the vice president to lay out in some detail before to the American people, the largest audience she will probably get during the campaign, her vision for the country. More specifically,
her vision for the country is his vision for the country. It's Biden Harris and Biden speaking at the convention next week. You can't separate the two. They can try, but you can't. You cannot separate the two, and that's the bottom line. So then here's the other thing, too, that I think is very, very important to note, all right? Tim Walz, it's a disaster for him in every way, shape, or form. So this video that came out just recently today, just a few moments before it came on the air today, it's a little compilation. It was put out by Western Lensman on X, and it's all about his stolen valor. And this is the video. Tim Walz wants to be vice president, but he just doesn't belong anywhere near the office of commander in chief. So it's put out a little bit this morning, actually. It's already racked up over 1 million views on X. Take a listen.
Tim Walz wants to be a heartbeat away from commander-in-chief. But Tim Walz has lied about his military record for years.
He's used the rank that he never achieved in order to advance his political career.
Walz lied repeatedly about his rank.
Retired Command Sergeant Major.
Retired Command Sergeant Major.
Command Sergeant Major.
Retired Command Sergeant Major.
Walz lied about being in combat.
He can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war, that I carried in war.
Walz dodged deployment by retiring when he knew his National Guard unit was going to Iraq.
Everybody knew they were going to train and go to Iraq. The warning order basically stated it, and too much later after he knew it, that's when he retired.
Walz disparaged Minnesota National Guard soldiers.
The mayor said, I request the National Guard. We're going to have massively trained troops. No, you're going to have 19-year-olds who are cooks.
That same Minnesota National Guard that he disparaged, unlike Walz, served heroically in Iraq and Afghanistan. Tim Walz is not fit to be anywhere near the office of commander-in-chief. Tim Walz is guilty of stolen valor.
He abandoned us. You know, I mean, what the hell kind of leader does that?
Now, there's that. But then there's also, I shared with you a story yesterday of a woman who owned a bar in his state. And during COVID, the lockdowns were so restrictive, they were not lifted until most of 2021. They were finally lifted, I think, towards the fall, end of summer, fall, like that. COVID restrictions were some of the most draconian. There's also a video going around of police shooting paintballs at people, screaming at them to get back in their homes during May of 2020. And it's an absolutely disturbing video to watch. People on their own front porches, and the police are walking by screaming, get inside, and then shooting paintballs at them. It's hard to believe this is America. I want to play a clip for you of a woman who was arrested when Tim Walz was governor during COVID. Her name is Lisa Hansen. She's a small business owner in Minneapolis. She was thrown in jail for 90 days because she violated Tim Walz's COVID lockdown orders. Guys like this are authoritarians. I've told you before, this is a guy who doesn't believe the First Amendment protects so-called misinformation, whatever the hell that means. You know what it means? It means whatever the government decides it is. That's what it means. Misinformation is whatever the government wants it to be, period. So I'm watching the show on Apple TV right now called Manhunt. It's all about the attempt to capture John Wilkes Booth after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. I read the book many years ago. The book was outstanding. The show is excellent, too. It really is. But, you know, that was a conspiracy to kill Lincoln. And a lot of people don't realize that. He was not a lone gunman. John Wilkes Booth had helped the Confederate States of America, the Democrats. They had a whole pipeline to the money people in New York. And mostly the assassination was funded because you have these money people on Wall Street. And also, believe it or not, globalists, because Montreal, Canada was involved in this, as were Europeans as well, who were profiting off of the commodities of the South. And they wanted Lincoln stopped. And it wasn't just about the slave trade for them. It was also about gold and cotton, gold against the U.S. greenback. So they wanted Lincoln stopped, and they funded this assassination. They funded his escape, and it's a remarkable story. And that night of the assassination, there were also attempts to kill other members of his cabinet. There was also an attempt to kill the vice president, Andrew Johnson. However, the guy did not go through with it. And there's a lot of questions to this day about whether or not Johnson knew about it or had a hand to play in it. Very similar questions surrounding the assassination of John F. Kennedy. You know, there's the CIA still has all those files classified, a lot of files, thousands of them, regarding the Kennedy assassination. The conspiracy to kill Abraham Lincoln was a conspiracy. Remember, the definition of a conspiracy is anything that involves two or more people. So it's not that complicated. But it was the deep state at the time, the financial global elites trying to stop Abraham Lincoln. There was, I think, an effort to stop John F. Kennedy because of the Vietnam War. I will never be convinced otherwise until I have all the facts in front of me and I can see all the files. With the Trump assassination attempt, I'm still not convinced this was not an inside job. I'm still not convinced there was not help to this guy. There's a lot about this that stinks. Thank God we have people with phones and police with body cams and we got cameras and we can film all this. My point is, though, there's always been an effort by the government to control information. And whatever the government says is misinformation is whatever the hell it deems to be misinformation. And a big part of that is if they are trying to cover something up, or in the case of, I'll give you a great example, they want to get funding for agencies. So we talked about this on yesterday's show. Let's say you go out there and you start criticizing a government agency, and the government agency starts taking down those comments because and this is a court case that's happening right now, they don't like that you're saying mean things about them. And the government, you ask yourself, why are they posting all these things on Twitter? My buddy Johnny Cook on X made a great point. NASA is looking for funding, so now we're hearing a lot about water on Mars. We're hearing a lot more about this right now, water on Mars. Because it's funding time, it's appropriation season. Misinformation is whatever the government wants it to be, but particularly it's whatever advances the government's interest. Tim Walz believes that misinformation is not protected by the First Amendment. He also believes that hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment. What is hate speech? Well, for example, if you say that it's crazy that there should be tampons in the boys' bathroom, that's hate speech. In Tim Walz's eyes, it's certainly hate speech, and there should be no protections for that. You should be locked up for that. And there are people who get locked up for that, and we're watching what's happening in the UK right now as we're sentencing people, they're sentencing people to prison for their Facebook posts. So whatever, the government decides what's misinformation, the government decides what's hate speech. One person's thoughtful debate about gender is another person's hate speech. One person's thoughtful debate about, say, the plot to kill Abraham Lincoln is another person's misinformation. It's what whoever is in power gets to make those decisions. Just like I always tell you that history is written by the winners. But as I said to my friend, Dr. Wilfred Riley, his new book, Lies, My Liberal Teacher Told Me, history is taught by educators. And most of those educators are progressives. So history may be captured by the victors, but it's taught by the teachers. And that's also something we have to keep in mind. So back to this story of this woman, Lisa Hansen. So she's a small business owner in Minnesota, thrown in jail for 90 days because she violated Tim Walz's unconstitutional COVID lockdown orders. She says Tim Walz is not some cuddly, joyful coach or all the things the mainstream media is calling him. The guy's a tyrant. He's a bully. And he is. Absolutely. To me, this guy would be the worst when it comes to being able to go in there with the weaponization of our justice system. Tim Walz should scare you. He should scare you. He's creepy. Yes, he's very creepy. And tampons in the boys' bathroom is bad. But so is locking up business owners for violating his COVID orders and then sentencing them to jail for 90 days. It's also very, very bad. Take a listen to a little bit of her story.
When COVID happened, and in the state of Minnesota, my business so is located in the state of Minnesota, southern Minnesota. It was a lovely wine and coffee bistro, and it had been in operation for going on 8 years by the time that my business was shut down and destroyed. And when I say it was destroyed, I'm speaking of the being shuttered and not being able to survive that because of what Tim Walz, Governor Tim Walz, and Attorney General Keith Ellison did to me and to my business, as well as our employees. And so what happened is with the first shutdown, we didn't really know what to do, what was going on, and we did comply. And I hate to say that, you know, looking back at everything I've stood for, but we did comply because we didn't know what else to do. He never fully opened up the state to point this out. Who did he shut down? Governor Walz shut down only some of the businesses. The essential businesses got to stay open. So I guess that means that we were a non-essential business. But so he shut down bars, restaurants, gyms, dance studios, hair salons, etc. Who did he not shut down? Who were the essential business owners? That would have been your big box stores, with hundreds and hundreds of people coming to visit through their doors a day, mingling and being close. He did not shut down liquor stores. He did not shut down strip clubs. So think about the contrast there. He shut down a lot of the mom and pop shops, those folks that were just trying to make a living and provide a great product and a great service. In contrast, he allowed big box stores, et cetera, to stay open. Really incredible, an incredible use of tyranny against the people. So we opened up. I can't tell you for sure how long we were open, but immediately within 24 to 48 hours, the state came down on us with a vengeance. They attacked me, a woman, small business owner, as well as other small business owners in the state of Minnesota. They came down, they sent the health department down, they sent everything they could against us. They employed all of their resources against we the people. I went to court. I was found guilty. was precipitated and put on me by the, you got to go all the way to the top. That, again, that'd be Tim Walz and Attorney General Keith Ellison. I was given a sentence to 90 days, which was the max sentencing. And I was also fined $1,000, which was the max fine for this supposed thing that I did, where I was standing on my rights and totally protected by the Constitution of the United States of America. But when you have rogue judges, rogue government, attorney general, et cetera, they're all in lockstep with each other. It doesn't go very well for the people. And this is what we need to be standing against.
And now she's right. And you know, thank you. And her story is very important. Just like the bar owner who I shared her story with you yesterday. And then there's a small business owner who places blame directly at the feet of Tim Walz for the rioters that destroyed his livelihood in 2020. Now, he spoke to Fox News via a translator. And he said, my shop was destroyed. As a man, I couldn't do anything but cry. All right, I'm going to play this clip for you in a little bit because we got Dr. Ben Carson coming up. But I want you to think about this in terms of tyranny, authoritarianism, and all of this. I also want to share with you a story, and thanks to, it's a Politico story. So I was, Winters 1776 sent this our way. I appreciate that. We always appreciate when you get send us stories. Believe me, it's the show is an evolving, breaking show. But we did have this one ahead of time. But nevertheless, keep the stories coming. We appreciate it. But we did have this story in Politico. The nation's best hackers found vulnerabilities in voting machines, but no time to fix them. Some of the best hackers in the world gathered in Las Vegas over the weekend to try to break into voting machines that will be used in this year's elections, all with an eye to helping officials identify and fix vulnerabilities. The problem? Their findings will likely come too late to make any fixes before November 5th. Now, this is strange to me. See, because I thought that voting machines, you could never hack into them. I thought that that was rock solid, that was a fugazi. Anybody who said to you that you could hack a voting machine, that was a lie. I was told that. I was told that over and over again. And this is Politico, far right wing Politico, so take it with a grain of salt. Far right wing, the conspiracy site known as Politico. All right. So take it with a grain of salt here. In one sense, that's sarcasm. It's as mainstream as you get, Politico. In one sense, it's a normal course of events, they write. And every August, hackers at the DEF CON conference find security gaps in voting equipment. And every year, the long and complex process of fixing them means nothing is implemented until the next electoral cycle. But Election Day security is under particular scrutiny in 2024 because of increasing worries. As a result, many in the election security community are bemoaning the fact that no system has been developed to roll out fixes faster, and worrying that the security gaps that get identified this year will provide fodder for those who may want to question the results. Quote from Catherine Terranova, one of the organizers of the DEF CON event, Voting Village. They had it's called the Voting Village hacking event. She said, as far as time goes, it is hard to make any real major systemic changes, but especially 90 days out from the election. She said that's particularly troubling during an election year like this. From Friday to Sunday, Voting Village hackers clustered around tables with all shapes and sizes of voting machines and equipments to verify voters' identities or tabulate ballots, trying to get past firewalls or other security measures. And they were able to find all kinds of ways in, all kinds of back doors, all kinds of vulnerabilities. But here's the problem. They don't have time to fix them before Election Day. Organizers of the Voting Village intend to put out a full report in the coming weeks, but they found problems. Vulnerabilities ran multiple pages as of Saturday afternoon. While they would not comment on the exact problems found, the amount was fairly consistent with previous years. You know, it's funny because we were told this could never happen. Not here in America, anyway. These machines were lock solid. They were great. These machines, nobody could hack them. They were completely secure. What are you talking about? And, you know, there's a story in the Wall Street Journal today that we also have that Iran is trying to derail the Trump campaign via hacks. And in this article at Politico, they write, those discoveries by the hackers at this convention in Las Vegas come amid ongoing foreign and criminal targeting of U.S. elections. In 2016, Russian hackers targeted blah, blah, blah. They went to the Russia thing, blah, 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 blah. And they say, wow, there have been no foreign cyber attacks taking wide swaths of voting machines offline on Election Day or evidence of hacks that affected results. The risk is always there. And they bring up China. They bring up Russia. And the organizers of this are frustrated. You know what they're frustrated about? Despite years of security findings, voting machines and their vendors aren't moving quickly enough to make fixes. Quote, there's so much basic stuff that should be happening and is not happening. So, yes, I'm worried about things not being fixed, but they haven't been fixed for a long time. And I'm also angry about it. Even if you find a vulnerability next week in a piece of modern equipment that's deployed in the field, there's a challenge in getting the patch and getting the fix out to the state and local election officials and onto the equipment before the November election. That was said by Scott Algier, executive director of the Information Technology, Information Sharing and Analysis Center. The group serves as a way for companies in the IT space to share threat information. Now, there's a lot more on this, too. And the FBI's announcement Monday was the first sign that the U.S. government has launched a probe into a suspected Iranian hack and leak operation, mounting fears of Tehran's desire to interfere in the presidential election or the attempt to steal the election and blame it on Iran, which is also something that they could also do. Just like they tried to blame Russia in 2016, they could try to do that, too. Knowing the vulnerabilities are there, exploit them, take advantage of them, blame it on Iran. I mean, don't rule that out. You know, you got to be one step ahead of the game here with these people. But isn't that something? They're there. They're playing hacking, which sounds like a lot of fun. They're in Vegas. Why not? And they're identifying all these problems. And yet they know the problems can't be fixed by Election Day. And they know that there's going to be more problems found even when their voting village hacking little fun and games group is over. Scary prospect, if you ask me. You know what you can't cheat on? Paper ballots. But these election machines, a lot of problems. I talked about the bribery the other day where they arrested international officials and they used some of those voting machines here in America for bribing people to buy their machines. Don't you think those bribes also come with a guarantee that the people who hire them win? I mean, just saying, you know. Let me tell you about my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. When it comes to your home, protection and peace of mind are paramount. That's why Emmons is your go-to contractor for roofing, siding, and windows. Your home will not only look stunning from the curb, will also be energy efficient, secure, and ready to withstand the elements. With Emmons, you know you're getting top quality materials and the finest craftsmanship in the area. So, whether it's a durable, lifetime warranted Owens Corning roof that stands up to severe weather, siding that keeps your home insulated and looking sharp, or new windows that blend functionality with style, Emmons has you covered. And Emmons was just in my house the other day, installed a beautiful new kitchen door for us. Looks gorgeous, super insulated. And the work was done. The guys were great. Great team. I've been using these guys 7-8 years now. They've done almost every project you can think of for my home. They are offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, windows, and Anderson window replacement. So don't wait. Call Emmons today at 856-885-6677, 856-885-6677, or check out their website at emmonsroofing.com, emmonsroofing.com.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
His book is essential reading, The Perilous Fight, Overcoming Our Culture's War on the American Family, which he co-authored with his wife, Candy Carson. Of course, he is the former United States Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, retired neurosurgeon and professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins University. And, you know, Dr. Carson, I actually wanted to ask you, should I be calling you Mr. Secretary or Dr. Carson? I mean, what's the appropriate way to address you?
Just don't call me a cab.
Fair enough. That's a good answer. Well, it's great to have you back on the show. Thank you for joining us. Follow him on X at Real Ben Carson, Dr. Secretary. Maybe we'll call you that going forward. But you served in Trump's cabinet, and I think this is very, very important because the X conversation last night they had, a big part of it was about regulations, rolling back regulations, and getting rid of the United States Department of Education. I know that's something that you have always been a proponent of as well, along with school choice and getting the federal government out of our schools.
Yes, it's so vitally important. And it's one of the things that really distinguished us, particularly early on when Alexis de Tocqueville came to this country to study us. One of the things that impressed him was that he could find a mountain man in the middle of the forest, and the guy knew how to read. and could tell them about the Declaration of Independence. And if you look at a sixth grade exit exam from 200 years ago, what you had to know to get a sixth grade certificate, you'll be blown away. We have really lowered our standards and dumbed things down, and we see the manifestation of that. And a lot of it has to do with federal policies and federal money. And I think it would probably be much better to let this stuff be done at the local level where people are more accountable.
Yeah, and President Trump last night during the X Spaces conversation, a future President Trump, I want to make sure I get his title correct, with Elon Musk pointed that out, and he said, you know, we've ranked at the bottom of every list on educating our citizens, yet we spend more per pupil than any country in the world, Dr. Carson. That's unacceptable.
Oh, it's crazy. And the other thing to recognize is before countries go communist or Marxist, they all do the same thing. They dumb down the population because you have to have people who are willing to accept gaslighting. You know, you can see something with your own eyes, you can hear something, but you have to get people to the point where they say, oh, that's not true. No, don't worry about that. And that's exactly what the Democrats are doing in this campaign.
It's so
even
true.
Worse than that, they're not saying anything.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. I mean, they're hiding and they're trying very hard to distance Kamala Harris from Joe Biden's policies. But I hope people will see through that. I hope people will understand that Kamala Harris is part of the administration and part of Biden's team and everything that is happening in this country. She played a hand in.
Well, so many people don't understand politics. They don't understand civics. They don't understand how the government works. So people could come along and tell them anything. But it should be quite clear when people say things like, we have control of the southern border. In the meantime, millions of undocumented people are coming across. You don't have to be very bright to realize that's not true.
Yeah, no, you're right. You don't have to be a neurosurgeon, in other words, to know that that's not true. You don't have to separate conjoined twins. You just need eyes.
And the ability to think for yourself. And that's really the key. Are people going to be driven by emotion and just, I feel good, let's dance, oh, everything is just great? Or are they going to actually think about, what does it cost me when I go to the grocery store and when I go to fill up my gas tank? And what are my children being taught? Why do I have to be so careful about what they're being exposed to? You know, this is not the way America used to be. Why do I have to be afraid to say what I actually think because I don't want to be canceled? This is not America when we're going down that road. And if it's going to be corrected, it's going to be corrected by we the people. We have to get involved. And we can't just sit around and complain. We have to physically get involved. People can go and volunteer. We still need a lot of volunteers for Trump Force 47 to go out and monitor the polling places. And there are a whole host of other jobs that can be done. Because last time, even though there were some polling place monitors, they weren't well trained.
Yeah.
So when people said to them, you can monitor, but you got to be way over there where you can't see anything. And they listened. No, they don't have to be way over there. They have to be where they can see what's going on. And we have to train people appropriately, but we have people in place to do that. So if you want to get involved, you can do so. Trump Force 47.
Dr. Carson, you've always been a man of faith, and I know that you understand, and you've written about this extensively, that God plays such a role in who we are as America, and that part of what the left wants to do, and Marxism and communism and Nazism, and the reason why they remove God from society is so that the state can be the ultimate force for your rights, and then of course taking away those rights as they see fit. I'd love for you to react to this quick clip of Donald Trump last night from his Twitter Spaces with Elon Musk talking about his own personal faith in God post assassination attempt. Cut 4.
I knew immediately that it was a bullet. I knew immediately that it was at the ear.
Yeah.
And because it, you know, it hit very hard, but it hit the ear. And I also heard people shout bullets, bullets, you know, get down, because I, you know, I moved down pretty nicely, pretty quickly. And we had bullets flying right over my head after I went down. So I'm glad I went down. The bigger miracle was that I was looking in the exact direction of the shooter. And so it hit me at an angle that was far less destructive than any other angle. So that was the miracle. That was,
yeah.
For those people that don't believe in God, I think we got to all start thinking about that. You have to, you know, I'm a believer. Now I'm more of a believer, I think. And a lot of people have said that to me. A lot of great people have said that to me, actually.
Your thoughts, Dr. Carson?
Well, you know, what's really fascinating, less than 60 miles away from the place where President Trump was shot during the French and Indian War, during the Battle of Monongahela, George Washington was a carrier for the British general, and all the couriers were killed except for him. He had two horses shot from beneath him. He had four bullet holes in his coat. He had bullet fragments in his hair, but no flesh wounds. Many years later, he was in the area again, still before he became president. And one of the Indian chiefs that was involved in that war was on his deathbed, and he said, "Please take me. I need to see him before I die." And they brought him to where Washington was, and he said, "Sir, I'm an expert marksman, and I shot you many times." And he said, "My men shot you many times, and pretty soon I told them, stop wasting their ammunition." And he said, "I just wanted to meet you, a man who was protected by the great spirit above." And I think that great spirit above protected Donald Trump on that Saturday a few weeks ago for the same reason. And if that's not enough to convince people that there is a God, I don't know what is. But to have to remember that our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, says that our rights come from our Creator, mm-hmm. a.k.a. God, and they can only be taken away from us by that. The Marxists don't believe that. They believe they are God. The communists believe that they are God. And all you have to do is look at the congressional record from January the 10th, 1963, where Congressman Herlong listed the 45 goals of communism in America, and you'll see all the things that are happening right now, 60 years later. They've been just waiting for the atmosphere to be correct for them to manifest themselves. And the Biden administration opened up that atmosphere, and that's why it seems like all of this is happening right now, but it's been in the plans for quite some time. And we, the American people, have got to recognize that we're just pawns being manipulated. They're manipulating us to believe, for instance, that we're each other's enemies just because we might disagree about something. We agree on 80% of stuff, but they take 20% and they magnify it. And they're destroying our country because a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Dr. Ben Carson's with me. His book, The Perilous Fight, Overcoming Our Culture's War on the American Family, which he co-authored with his wife, Candy Carson. When we talk about Biden, and I know that last night, you know, former President Trump was saying that Biden is basically in a vegetable state at this point. I mean, you're a brain surgeon. I mean, you know the brain better than anybody. I think a lot of people are very worried about his ability to be in charge. And I know he's not your patient. Doctors don't like to diagnose people who aren't their patients. I get that. But at the same time, I'm concerned about this guy being commander in chief with his current mental state.
Well, I mean, you don't have to be a doctor to realize that he has some cognitive issues. I mean, if you were getting on an airplane and you looked in the cockpit and you saw somebody like him fumbling around, I don't think you would get on that airplane. So, and yet we've given him the keys to the country. So it's pretty bad. And then we want to go from that to somebody who has not been vetted at all, who's not been questioned, whose policies changed like the wind direction. You know, I mean, are you kidding me? This is the United States of America, and this is what we're putting up for our leadership. It's not only embarrassing, it's extraordinarily dangerous to put somebody in the position of president who has not been vetted. You don't know what their policies are. She needs to explain why she has shifted her policies on all these different issues. She needs to tell us exactly what happened, what changed.
Yeah, they just walked back Medicare for All. That happened just a few moments where it came on the air today. She was a proponent of Medicare for All, and she said so in 2020. She raised her hand for government health care, and now she's walking that back, too. She's walked back fracking, and she stole Trump's idea on no tax on tips, even though she voted for 87,000 new IRS agents.
Yeah, just have her explain all those things, and we need to keep the drumbeat going. Kamala, explain yourself. Talk to the people. They have a right to know. If you want to be the leader, they have the right to know where you want to lead them. And that just has to be loud and clear. It's going to have to be done, obviously, by the media that has integrity. The media that does not have integrity, they're too far gone. I don't think that you can reach them because they're all run by radicals themselves who are what Vladimir, not Vladimir Putin, but Vladimir Lenin referred to as useful idiots. They're actually destroying themselves from a misbelief in ideology. And they don't know that they're preparing their own grave, because what is the first thing the Marxists do when they get in power? They completely control the media.
It's always an honor to have you on the show. It really is. And we are so grateful for your patriotism. Follow him on X at Real Ben Carson and get his book, The Perilous Fight, Overcoming Our Culture's War on the American Family. Dr. Ben Carson, thank you, sir.
Thank you for being with us and being a patriot.
God bless. All right. That is the he's the best. He really is. He's great. Jimmy, you're supposed to play a sweeper there. We talked about this. How many freaking times do I have to tell you to play a sweeper? Forget it. We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Did I hit the camera?
I don't think so. I think you missed it.
I'm going to hit this camera one of these days. Nope, I got it. That wasn't even close.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Don't humor me with that. Oh,
that was a terrible throw.
You shut up, DeSantis. Nobody asked you a damn thing. Hang on.
That was close.
Wasn't close at all. It's an optical illusion, like the camera adds 10 pounds.
You know, you hit that thing the first time you ever threw paper at it, and you haven't hit it since.
I know. And now I just threw all my live reads, so I got to do it by memory.
I got to print them again.
I got to do it by memory. That's okay. I got this. Ready? We're going to be back at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey on Friday, September 6th for our next live show. And I want you to join us. It's going to be a great time. And remember something. The beach isn't just for the summer, because Cape May is gorgeous in the fall. It's absolutely beautiful in the fall. The crowds are gone. The weather is great. Get restaurant reservations very easily. And at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place, they have an amazing September to Remember package for you. Here's how it works. Stay two nights, save 10%. Stay three nights, get 10% off and $55 a night in resort credits. Five nights get you 10% off and $65 a night in resort credits, which you can use at Hemingway's restaurant. The food there is amazing. It's always delicious. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Great cocktails as well. Smoked old fashioned. My buddy Eric Ford sent me a picture of that. He and his beautiful wife, they went there for a getaway weekend this past weekend, and they had the smoked old fashioned. I said, how was it? He said, well, it was so good. I had two of them. Then he had something else, of course. But the Grand offers guest rooms, suites, and townhomes equipped with a kitchenette, and they have two huge heated pools, one outdoor and one indoor. I'm telling you, the Grand is my happy place. You will not be disappointed. Book directly with them for the best rates. Book your stay today by calling 800-257-8550 or visit them online at GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. And remember, it's my happy place for a reason. It's a wonderful place. You will be happy there. And you'll be happy if you join us for our next live show Friday, September 6th, 3 to 7 p.m. Mark your calendar now and join us, our first live show of the fall, crazy fall season, at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Who throws more like a man? Rich Scioli throwing at the camera, Barack Obama's first pitch, or an Algerian, the Algerian boxer uppercut? Very good. Thank you. I'm going to retweet that, even though I'm not happy about having to do so. But, and I'm tearing up in my eye now. This is annoying. This is terrible that I'm on camera for this. But so, you know, I put sunscreen on today, and now I got it in my eye, and it's really causing me to tear up. So if you see me, I'm not crying. Everything in my life is going great. There's no complaints. I'm a very happy man. It's just the fact that I got sunscreen in there.
No, so you're not like one of our former hosts here, who used to cry all the time.
Who would that be?
Yeah, he used to be a syndicated guy. Known for his pausing.
Oh, Glenn Beck.
Oh, yeah, known for his pausing and crying.
Beck cries all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But that's for effect, you know.
Of course. But I feel you on the sunscreen in the eye thing. That used to happen to me a lot when I was younger.
And it's not fun.
It's not fun at all.
I tell you what, Dr. Carson's great. Everything he says is fantastic. The man is brilliant. He's epically brilliant. He really is. There's a clip I wanted to play from the X event last night with Trump. And before I get to that, I'm going to do some of that in the 5 o'clock hour. I just wanted to share with you, CNN is fuming over this. They're fuming over the whole thing. But just to show you how CNN is a joke. Caitlin Collins went on Stephen Colbert's show last night. Caitlin Collins, listen, I laugh at how these late night, quote unquote, comedy shows. And it's the reason why Gutfeld's doing so well. It's the reason why Jimmy Fallon's killing it on Saturday nights, because they're actually funny. But Stephen Colbert is not a comedian. Right? These late night comedy shows are not comedy shows. These things are propaganda efforts. So Caitlin Collins goes on there last night and she looks great. You know, she's an incredibly well-spoken guest, but even the audience had a laugh. It was not intended to be a joke, but the audience started cracking up. It wasn't supposed to be a joke. She's not a comedian. So Caitlin Collins was not trying to be funny when this exchange happened here, but it just goes to show you how everybody sees through the BS that the media is somehow impartial, unbiased, whatever it is. Cut 18.
Trump has kind of been thrown on his heels by this, and he's not really sure how to go after Vice President Harris. He knew his attack lines on President Biden. He really has struggled with how to go after someone who's 20 years younger than him, who is a different gender, a different race. It's kind of been this moment where he has not been able to coalesce around a single attack line.
I know you guys are objective over there, that you just report the news as it is.
No, I know. CNN makes it. I know.
Was that supposed to be a laugh line?
I wasn't supposed to be, but I guess it is.
Because the audience knows it's BS, too. It's so funny. It wasn't meant to be funny. Think about it. The only time that show gets a laugh is not when they're actually telling a joke. It gets a laugh when they say it's CNN's objective and that they just report the news. What does that tell you? First of all, it tells you that the people that go to Stephen Colbert's show are probably smarter than you think. So my question is, why are they going to see Stephen Colbert other than the tickets are free? And I guess and it's an experience. But beyond that, they're all in on the joke. That's the laugh line. It's CNN's objective. The audience cracked up over that. So tells you a lot, if you ask me. It really does. Hey, coming up later in the show, our buddy EJ and Tony's going to stop by. You want to know about fraud? There's a lot of fraud in the Social Security system. There's a lot of it that's happening. And we're talking about billions and billions of dollars that's unaccounted for, fraud. This federal government's out of control. And of course, we're not even talking about our $1.9 trillion federal deficit. $1.9 trillion. We also don't have tickets to give away in the 5 o'clock hour to Politics and Pints with Dom Giordano and Donald Trump Jr. So I just want to mention that we don't have tickets to give away because that'll get you hooked to keep listening to the show, knowing that you get nothing in the 5 o'clock hour other than you get this wonderful show for free. And of course, you can take it with you on the Odyssey app, which you'll hear me say the Odyssey app in about 18 minutes from now when the app finally catches up. But other than that, it's a great app. You should definitely download it and use it wherever you are. OK, so 18 minutes from now, when you hear me talk about this on the Odyssey app, if you listen on the app, you'll know exactly what I mean. All right. Listen, we have 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up straight ahead for you. And just to show you that I'm not afraid of anything. Yes, there's a story about George Soros funding all these prosecutors like Larry Krasner in Philadelphia. We're going to talk about that. Plus, wait until you hear the attacks on Donald Trump and Elon Musk claiming that they thought Hiroshima and Nagasaki, no big deal, no big whoop, nuclear war. It's not a bad thing. Completely misrepresenting that as CNN deceptively alters this and edits this out to try to fool people because they're not objective, as the audience of Stephen Colbert saw through last night. 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead. Don't go away.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.